This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jimmy hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Lining while I'm still in the crib.
A moon pie smeared all over my bib.
Punched my first grade teacher right straight in the mouth.
'Cause that's how we do it in the dirty South.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you in beautiful high-definition audio. Yes, indeed. From here in Fort Worth, Texas, deep inside the confines of Trinidad World Recording Studio, my studio here in Fort Worth. Beautiful, where the rugs are on the floor, where warmth emanates from every surface. And all the guitars hanging on the walls. The drums, Pete Coney's drum kits that lay strewn about the place. Cozy confines. Welcome, everybody, to this edition of the P2 Podcast. Thrilled to be with you. Thrilled. Phil Pritchett here, as always, with you every week, letting you know what is going on out there. What is going on in the world of music, the world of Texas music, the world of business, the world of technology. And the answer is, I don't know. I just read as much as I can. I talk to people. I'm here running the empire every day, the P2 Entertainment Empire. I'm just passing on my thoughts, my observations, my experience, and my knowledge to you, the fan, the listener in the know, who walks down the street every week having listened to this broadcast, thinking I'm a little more enlightened, a little more tuned in. I'm just a little bit smarter for having done that this week. That is our intention anyway. Thrilled to have you with us. How you doing, everybody? Thanks for sending all the emails. I get them every week. I read them all. Some of you email in every single week, just giving me a little point by point, little blow by blow, you know, either, agreeing with what I said, contesting. Oh man, we had some thoughts on the Wall Street stuff. Got a little stir from some people. Had some of my facts mixed up on the stock market. Sorry, I'm a musician here. You know, we talked about that Michael Lewis book, The Big Short, about the financial crisis. Hey, man, it affects all of us, you know? The economy's tough out there. How did we get here? I read that book, The Big Short. Talked about it a few weeks ago. I've got emails from people saying, hey, Phil, I concur, man. It's a mixture of lack of accountability and morality. It's a product of too much government scrutiny, intervention. Bring back the free market, some say, you know. But I appreciate all that, all the input. It all just keeps me going. This is the kind of knowledge I'm looking for out there. So you think maybe I'm doing you a service? Phil sits here and talks about his life to me. Lets me know all the stuff going on out there in the world. It's actually a two-way street. I get a lot from you guys. Y'all call me back. You come to the studio. You have the full band come play in your backyard for your, you know, birthday parties and graduations and weddings and whatever else. Parties at the ranch. That's what we want to do. That's what we're in business for. So it's a two-way street. Couldn't be more thrilled about this relationship between the full band and the fan. Thank you very much. Are you enjoying the Blueprint Garage Volume 3? Have you picked it up yet on p2tunes.com? It's just $4 if you go there. 14 songs, including that old Gary Floater we kicked off the show with there. How about that Gary Floater, man? It's sweeping the nation. Sweeping the nation. And now, I don't know if you saw the post on Twitter, Facebook, etc. Blueprint Garage has now emerged, surfaced on iTunes. Some of y'all prefer your iTunes. Hey, I'm with you on that. you know, maybe you don't want to download the whole album and everything. You just want to go grab your Dirty South and a couple other selections. Little P2 doing Gordon Lightfoot's Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, etc. So go to iTunes, man. You can just sit there and cherry pick them if you'd like. The new record is on iTunes. Thrilled about that. Thrilled. Oh, man. Had a huge weekend. Just a huge weekend. I'm still recovering here. Oh, man. Drove up to play our annual show in Illinois, the Flatland Jam. You know, we've played the first Flatland Jam up there. This is in Altamont, Illinois, outside of Effingham. Rural community, man. This is the Midwest at its best. Our bass player, of course, Blue, J.W. Marshall is from up there. And his family, his brother Levi, does this festival. Got into promotions up there. The first year, a couple years ago, was Ragweed. Oh, rest in peace, Ragweed, wherever you are. Cody, call me. Take care, buddy. Hope you're doing well. But yeah, man, Ragweed was there the first year with us and a couple local bands. Then last year we had Pat Green was there and Luke Bryan and some Nashville dudes. You know, two stages. I was bizarre. But this year was back to one stage. Had Gretchen Wilson out there. Hit maker. God, I didn't know she had so many hits. She sold like 11 million records. You know, the redneck woman, Gretchen Wilson. She's something else, man. We get to the gig there. I got to start over at how we got up there, man, because this was a trip. This was a trek this weekend, man. Your guy P2's hurting here. I played a little show for the ranch. You know, our good friends, 95.9 The Ranch here in Fort Worth. They carry the podcast. Proud carriers of the P2 podcast every Sunday night. Listen up there. Thanks for all of your help over there, Kevin McCoy. Well, man, I play over at Old Cooper's Barbecue there by Billy Bob's. They do a early afternoon acoustic thing on the air for the ranch. So I stop by, play a few songs, get some free barbecue. Great barbecue, by the way. Thanks a lot, Cooper's. Right there north of Billy Bob's. Check it out. They pull that meat off the grill, man, and they just say, you want it dipped? I'm like, what? They just got this vat of drippings with, like, stuff in it. And they just take whatever meat you pick out off the grill, they just dip it in there, kind of hold it under for a little bit. Then they throw it on your plate. Oh, fantastic. Loved it. So I play Cooper's Barbecue. I'm done there at, you know, 7 o'clock or something. So I just go home. Well, we need to be in Illinois, man, on Saturday by like, you know, 3 o'clock or something to get all loaded in and everything. Do the math, fans. Do the math. I'm hurting. So I get out. It's 7 o'clock. I'm thinking, man, do we just take off and drive through the night? Do I sleep now? I was exhausted already. I'd had a long week with the, you know, me, man, Phil. I'm teaching science lab for the kids and driving carpool and all that. Getting up early every morning. We got a baby now again. You know, it's craziness in the Pritchett household, rest assured. But man, so I finished over there at Cooper's Friday night. I said, so I call an audible late. We were just going to leave right after the show, but I call Stu and Blue. I'm like, look, man, I'm just going to pick you up at like 1 in the morning. Stu meets me at the studio. We pick up Blue and Dallas on the way. I go, man, then we'll drive a little bit. So I went home at 7, tried to get some sleep, racked out for, oh man, I couldn't fall asleep to about 9 or something, but I slept a little bit, like 9 to midnight, maybe something like that. Few hours sleep, set the alarm. No thanks to Blue. I call Blue. Of course, he's out there partying in the bars. He's at the Ghost Bar in Dallas, you know, just with Mark Cuban or whoever he goes out with. He's just Dallas socialite, J.W. Marshall. So Blue's like, hey, I'll still be up, man, at midnight. I'm not going to sleep. I'm just going to sleep in the van after you pick me up. I go, well, dude, call me at 12:15, just in case my alarm doesn't work or something. Call me at 12:15, make darn sure I'm awake. Well, my alarm works. I get up. I kind of get moving. I mean, look at my watch. It's like, you know, I'm going to pick up Stu at like 12:45. Nothing. No call from Blue. Nothing. Nothing. I finally text him. I'm like, thanks for waking me up. He's like, oh, yeah, man, yeah, you awake? Just, I could already hear him on his cell phone. So that's what we did, man. Oh, so Stu gets in the car at the studio about 1. We get Blue in Dallas about 1:30. We head out on the road in the pitch dark, weaving in and out of all the drunks out there. Good grief. I don't know if this is a good idea or not. Actually, it was a pretty nice drive. I love driving the van, man. Oh, I got a new radio in there. Got a little car stereo put in the van. Yep, the old one broke. We didn't even have a car stereo, but this was a 13-hour trip. I was afraid that Stu and Blue would quit if I didn't have a stereo in the van. So went in there, paid a guy down the street from the studio here to put it in. Great guy. Got it in there. So we're got some tunes and some talk radio and stuff and music happening through the night. Drove all the way to Little Rock, Memphis, but just drove through the night. Sun came up around Memphis, Tennessee, turned north towards St. Louis, and then you peel off to go into Illinois. So man, we made it with no incidences and had a good trip, man. But I driven through the night. You know, everybody's like, man, it's great doing what you love, Phil. You're doing what you love, man. I'm like, really? Am I? Am I really doing what I love? Do I love driving all night, not getting any sleep, not eating any food, struggling financially at times? It can be harrowing. Harrowing. It's more like being a truck driver, you know, being a musician sometimes. Except the pay and the benefits is much worse as a musician. Well, needless to say, we arrived safely at the Effingham County Fairgrounds there. Boy, and there's Gretchen. She's got her rig, Gretchen Wilson, the redneck woman, 18-wheelers there with about four buses. There's all these dudes with their shirts off and tattoos smoking and drinking. I'm like, well, this must be the Wilson crowd. Here we are, home sweet home. She's from up there. And yeah, man, it was really funny. That's what they were doing. They had this couple of fires burning out there in front of the buses. They were all cooking meat, and it was like, you know, 2 p.m. And there's Gretchen and everybody. They're all just having some beers, you know, smoking some cigarettes, sitting around. I was like, how long they been here? All the festival guys, I mean, they got like 9:00. They've been out here hanging out and, you know, just having some beers and having a good old time. Some barbecues, like her family was there and everything. So it was quite a scene there at the Flatland Jam. So, you know, we roll into the Pritchett van, get our gear on stage. Logan, I forget his last name. He played first at like 5:00. Then we had our friends Bacon Fat go on, everyone's favorite Midwestern garage band. I produced their new record called, Something Verbiage. What is it called? They just gave it to me. Sorry, guys. Absurd Verbiage was produced by me. Actually, they had recorded it up there in the basement there in Illinois. Sent me the tracks. I mixed it. Good stuff from Bacon Fat. Check it out. So they played second. And, man, we had a great set. Oh, my gosh. We hadn't had something like this really fall our way in a while, I think. In a while, a few weeks. You know, man, playing these gigs are streaky. We'll go on a streak where we just play and there's you know, few people at the gigs, or the weather's bad, or it's cold, or it's raining at all of our gigs. You know, you just go through these little stretches. And then you'll hit a streak where you're like, man, you know, our last, you know, several weekends have just been packed and the weather's been great. And it just, I don't know if it's always the year. I never really find a whole lot of consistency in the year. Like, man, you know, January's always bad and April's always good. That's not really the case. It's sort of streaky. But man, we hit the stage at the Flatland Jam. As darkness was falling, weather was perfect, and a huge crowd there. I don't know, they had a couple thousand or so there. And great, great fun, man. Gosh, I thought we played really well. Stooge had a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and Blue was jumping around, and had a great show. And man, we had a lot of people wearing P2, Phil Pritchett and the Full Band shirts out there from the last couple of years. And so that's good to see. That's encouraging, because we don't play up there a lot, obviously, but at least we try to get up there about once a year. So it's kind of cool. You know, we play in Texas all the time, and, you know, y'all are all out there, and you got your P2 records and shirts. Bless you all. But, you know, you see us all the time, and you know, you can say, he'll be back next month or something. So it's hard to see everybody all at the same time in any of these markets. But up there at the Flatland Jam, it's not, man. Everybody who's, you know, somewhat of a fan of ours is, you know, they'll show up for that one show. So it's kind of a unique environment. You get just all these people up by the stage who know all of our songs, and it was great, man. Had a great set. Man, the darkness fell, did Skywalker. They had a couple guys manning spotlights back there. Probably some of Gretchen's guys that I wasn't supposed to call out or direct. But they got these spotlights on. I was like, hey, man, swing those spotlights around, you know, when I'm doing the machine gun and stuff. You know, just in-the-moment stuff. And they did. I mean, they swung the spotlights around like searchlights, you know, as the bombs were falling. Oh, man, it was a scene there in the Midwest. The Flatland Jam. Gretchen came out. She did a good, you know, she does a stomping, rocking, you know, I may be a girl, but I can rock kind of deal. But it was cool. Or, you know, they did a lot of, you know, it always floors me a little bit, these country bands now. men, women, all of them, they all want to rock and roll. You know, why does we listen to, gosh, Stu Wiley, the beloved drummer of the full band. Man, he knows country music, man. He can sing those old Randy Travis and Alan Jackson, George Strait, Garth Brooks tunes. Guy, he knows them up and down. It's a beautiful thing. We'll sit there and quiz him on stuff, or you know, we pull up charts from the 80s from country, like top country hits of the 90s, and Stu just sits there and just sings them all word for word. It's great. I go, man, and they are. They're just great songs, you know. I heard Killing Time by Clint Black, stuff like that. And, man, nobody – I know that's just out of style now or something, but all these Nashville guys just got that. They just want to say, man, I got tattoos. I got a leather armband. I'm playing a Les Paul. Get out of my face. You know, I'm like, where do we get to this? It's just something about it. I mean, it's cool and everything, but it's something about it. It's just a little – they're trying too hard or something, or I don't know. We've always kind of been a rock band, so I don't know. We've always kind of played that rootsy stuff. I've never put on a hat and sang George Strait songs. Not unless I got well paid, you know. A couple times, maybe, but not often. Oh, I don't know, man. I'd kind of like to sit there and just hear some gal sing a good old country tune, but they want to play Zeppelin, man, and the Black Crows and stuff. Anyway, it was fun though. Great show. Gretchen couldn't have been nicer. A really nice gal. Hung out. Long conversation with me and Stu back there backstage. Very cool. Very nice. She's independent now. I don't know what the story is on that. She sold all these records. I think maybe her last record didn't do as good. And so anyway, now she's got Redneck Records. You know, she's kind of indie and I don't know. It is what it is. I think we're all going to end up indie. We're all going to end up back at the Barley House, back at Firehouse. Some of us never left. How you doing? Well, folks, in our next segment, we're going to talk about some other news. I talked to a friend of mine the other day about, oh, man, remember festivals? Remember these Texas festivals? You know, you got Chili Fest, Ziegenbach, Gator Fest, huge, huge festivals. Well, man, that climate has been really changed. I talked to a festival friend of mine, a source who shall remain nameless, but I'm just going to pass on a little inside information to you out there, fans, because you're listening, you are in the know. I'm going to let you on some stuff I know. In our next segment, we're going to talk about the current state of Texas music festivals. Next.
That's how we do it in the dirty south.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you from Trinidad World Recording Studios. How you doing, everybody? P2 here, sitting here enjoying my coffee on a morning here at Trinidad World Recording, talking about the Flatland Jam. Oh, man, going up there and playing on the big stage with Gretchen Wilson, Bacon Fat, rocking it out in the Midwest. Thanks to all y'all who came out there in the Midwest. Really, really means it's just a whole different chapter in our universe, our little world we've created around ourselves here in Texas, to be able to drive 14 hours away and see P2 shirts and people with our records who know our songs and stuff like that. And all points in between. People driving from, a couple guys drove in from Chicago who saw us there when I played with Rodney Foster a couple years ago. There's a video for that on YouTube. Check that out. Joe's Chicago. So we've got some Midwest stuff going on up there. Always love going up to see our fans in the Midwest, playing a great show. Had great weather, great event up there. Thanks to Levi Marshall for putting the whole thing on. Oh, steaks backstage, beer, trailers. Oh, man, it was awesome. Great stuff. Man, it got me to thinking. This was a festival in the Midwest. You know, stuff is not maybe done as much in the Midwest, maybe? Is it safe to say? I don't know. At least with Texas music kind of folk, it is. Not as common as in Texas. Man, I talked to an old friend of mine I hadn't talked to in a while. I'm going to not name that person here because, you know what? Hey, what do I know about broadcasting here? I don't want to get sued. Hey, man, you weren't supposed to go on the air and talk about that. Had a good conversation about the festivals. Man, for so long, since the dawn of garage bands in Texas. What does the band want to do? We want to play festivals, everyone says. Well, why do we want to play festivals? I'll tell you why. Because it's a soft ticket. Everybody know what that is? A soft ticket, not a hard ticket. Let me tell you, dude, that's how all these Nashville dudes subsist, except for a very few. Soft tickets, man. That's where you, you're on the bill at a festival. If you're there or not, it's not going to affect the ticket count per se a whole lot. There's going to be people there anyway, kind of deal. You know, you're being paid for to be a entertainer on the stage, you know, as opposed to going into the tap in College Station. They go, look, $6 to get in. We'll give you 100% of the door. Well, man, if nobody comes, you don't get anything. You know, there's 500 people there. You get $3,000. Boom. Everybody understand? That's a hard ticket gig. Hard tickets. Nobody here, no money. Soft ticket. You're playing at the casino. We give you a guarantee. We give you free food. We give you a suite upstairs. We sell some tickets, and then if it's not very full, we'll just give the rest of them away to get people in there. Soft tickets, fairs, festivals. You know, casinos sell tickets. So that's more of a hard deal, but, it, you know, they just give them away a lot, too. All venues do these days. But it got me to thinking about, man, the allure of the festival, of the Texas music, the vaunted Texas Music Festival. And I was trying to think when the first of these really got going. You know, I started playing in Austin, and I mean, there wasn't any Austin Fest. There wasn't ACL. There was none of that stuff. You know, there was like Aquafest. They had an Aquafest down there in Austin on right there on the river. I went down there and saw Keen played a great show. There wasn't a lot of people there. It was just, you know, he's playing, this is probably around the Bigger Piece of Sky Keen era. I don't know when that was, early 90s or so, mid 90s. Great show though, Aquafest, but it wasn't just some huge to do, you know. There were some street festivals in Austin. Oh, I can't even think. I mean, fraternity would have a party in Nacogdoches or Lubbock or a chili cook-off somewhere we'd go play. Did a lot of that stuff. I think Chili Fest in Snook there by College Station was one of the first big Texas music festivals as far as really catering to kind of the, you know, the Pat Green, Ragweed, whoever, you know, that kind of stuff. They really started doing it. And then you had, of course, Ziegenbach, you know, festival that my old booking agent, Matt Pivoteau, was very heavily involved in. He did the one in Houston, and there was one in College Station. And anyway, man, you had all these festivals, right? There's just a festival everywhere. You know, they started doing the Red Dirt Roundup here in Fort Worth in the Stockyards. And, God, they just – I mean, there's a few years there that it was just going like gangbusters. Y'all remember? Yeah, a lot of y'all probably there. We were playing a lot of them, and it was just fantastic, man. It was just this sense of rising. The rising tide lifts all boats, you know. I think, and now I look around, it's just different now, man. Boy, oh boy. The point of this segment is the information I was getting from a lot of people, and I've seen this firsthand myself, but the conclusions of my friend were just the same. Man, there's a lot of horror stories out there lately, especially in the Texas market on all these festivals, man. Now, maybe you've been there, you've had a good time. Well, it's great, a lot of people there or something. But, man, I'm here to tell you, the word on the street is disaster. Disaster. And, man, it is just a perfect storm out there. You've had all these bands out there getting in their buses and, you know, getting you, man, we don't walk out of the house for less than, you know, $20,000 or something. So everybody's gotten used to making this kind of money. And, you know, people got used to paying it. And, man, but it was these sponsors would just stumble over themselves, you know, Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light, just whoever, just duke it out to see who got to sell the beer, you know, and who got to advertise and what radio station got to promote it and stuff. And, man, you had Pat, Ragweed, Reckless Kelly, us, and whoever, Kevin Fowler, and, you know, a bunch of other bands or something, like 10 bands one day. Go all day long, man, back food backstage, and everybody got, you know, paid well, and there's thousands of people there. Anyway, man, the simple fact is, man, I think is a combination of, you know, I guess it's the economy, you know, it's harder to pay for these bands. The ticket prices started to get high. The band's guarantees stayed high. And man, oh man, there's just so many horror stories out there. I can't even tell you. You know, stories of promoters, you know, good music-loving guys putting the festival together and, oh, we brought in this guy and everything. And, you know, guys losing money, man, just, you know, tens of thousands of money, man. That guy lost 80 grand last week on that festival. I'm just kind of like, 80 grand? How does he pay that? Was he, you know, does he, how do you do that? I have no idea. It's all of a sudden big business. And, man, there's been just several of late. I'm not going to single any of them out, but if you've been at them, man, we're just, you know, some huge festival with all the, you know, really, man, the usual suspects on the bill, for lack of a better term. I mean, you just like, man, how many times can some of these bands go to these markets and just clean up and get a check for 20 grand and have everybody pay 30 bucks to go see it? I'm like, how many times can you do it? I mean, you just played whatever, you know, Billy Bob's a month ago. I mean, are we all going to, people just going to turn up again and see him again? Well, man, there's just been, like I say, without getting too specific on events and people and stuff like that, which is none of my business, and it's all just hearsay through the grapevine. But it's certainly a true story. I mean, there's a lot of first-hand knowledge on my part. But, man, what is going on out there? It's just, I don't know if people are, if there's just too many festivals, too many bands. My opinion is you just got too many bands out there who are competing to play and too many other competing events. Gosh, there was a festival here in Fort Worth the other weekend, and you had, like, the Cowboys playing, then the Rangers playoff game, and, like, U2 at the arena down the street. I mean, it's just like, I mean, it's so competitive for the dollar. And in a tough economy, man, those dollars get a little more scarce. People aren't just going to show up and pay 35 bucks to stand in a field and drink beer in ankle-deep mud, you know, and watch Randy Rogers for the 5,000th time. We love you, Randy. Don't get me wrong. Or whoever. Or Phil Pritchett or whoever it is. You know, I think maybe that's kind of what's going on. What does it mean for the future, man? The future of music is sort of the festival kind of on the way out. You know, you've got, of course, like ACL, stuff like that has, in Austin has exploded. Maybe you end up with a couple of big ones, but, God, very, very different. And a lot of these festivals, like, little crawfish festivals and, Houston or Conroe or Beaumont or, there were festivals that have been around forever. Would just have like Zydeco. They'd have music. They'd just have like a country cover band or Zydeco music. You know, I'm talking like back in the 80s or 70s when they started, early 90s. And they kind of also got swept up in the Texas music deal. They said, well, hell, you know, we'll bring in whoever, you know, Ragweed or something to blow this thing out Saturday night. So they got to where they were booking those bands as well. And, it got expensive. And I've said, there's just been a great, a lot of people have really lost bad lately promoting these kinds of things. So any of you young guys out there, I'm just offering, just passing that along. You're like, man, we're going to have a big festival at the ranch. Oh, my God. We played one a few years ago. Me and Jack, more than a few years ago, it was out at the lake there in Lubbock where the wind blows 55 miles an hour, straight line winds. What's it called? The Buffalo State Park or something? Oh, man, and this was like one guy just decides, man, we're going to blow it out. He's got the stage, and, oh, man, it was the biggest disaster I've ever seen in one show. We were out there. God, who else was on that bill? Maybe Honey Brown or somebody. But it was us and Jack were the last two bands, and, man, I don't think anybody got paid. It was just like, there was like, you know, you're on stage and there's people out there just asleep, kind of passed out, and like 33 cars, all with their doors open and their car alarms going off. And we were on stage playing and I was just like, man, what do you get? We got the check, man. We're good. I'm like, check, man. That check isn't as good as worth the paper it's written on. No cash, man. I mean, you know, the guy had his buddies taking money at the gate and he disappeared or something. I can't remember what happened. I do remember we were recording an album at Pat McGuire's a few days later, and Ingram's road manager at the time, Tommy Hale, showed up, and we were supposed to meet with the guy, like he's going to give Jack the rest of his money. the guy had to like sell his truck or something to pay Jack. I don't know if he ever got paid. Who knows? Just stories like that. So, I mean, that was back in like the heyday. That was back when a lot of these things were doing well. This was maybe the peak of the market. I think maybe for me personally, an image I'll remember for a long time is maybe just the absolute peak, the absolute pinnacle of the Texas festival music market. Man, we were playing Ziegenbach in College Station. Oh, I'm sorry, in Spring, there on the in Old Town Spring. And it was everybody. They had Rodney Foster. They had that year. They had, I think Pat was there. I know Corey was there. Some Reckless or somebody. And all of us, you know, we just saw each other all the time. Hey, what's going on? And it was I guess Pat wasn't there because this was after Pat was punched in the face. Do y'all remember that? The story where he got hit in the face in Padre or somewhere. It was on like CNN. Remember that? He was like, you know, he's riding high. He had the wave on wave thing kind of going on. And Pat Green assaulted. I see it scrolled across the screen. Pat Green assaulted, punched in the face by some guy. And he was really hurt. I mean, he really, I think, broke a bone in his face or something terrible. Anyway, of course, I love from that. There was also a quote. This Pat Green has made a statement. It just says, more violence is not the answer. I love that. Do you have any comment, Pat? Just yes. More violence is not the answer. He was like Nelson Mandela or something. You know, some kind of decree from Gandhi himself, Pat, my old friend, the podcast's own Pat Green. More violence is not the answer. So it died out. But that incident was going on. So we played this gig at Ziegenbach, and Corey Morrow's bus shows up. Corey comes off the bus, and dude, he's flanked. And forgive me, Corey, if this wasn't right, flanked by bodyguards. He's got these two big police dudes like with him. And he's walking around backstage, you know, getting his food or whatever. And he's got these guys with him. And I'm just like, what's this? And they're like, man, after what happened to Pat, man, he's not taking any chances. Not taking any chances. All the guy, you know, all the guys backstage with the earpieces and the walkie talkies running the festival, guys sitting in golf carts, that kind of stuff. So I don't know if the security was for, you know, Corey had hired him or if it was hired by the fest. I don't know the story on it. All I know is he was being flanked. And maybe they weren't his. I have no idea. But I just know that a lot of the other bands were like, dude, what the hell is going on? And I just thought, I remember having that kind of whoosh moment where the camera just zooms in on your face from 100 yards away. I just thought, man, where have we gotten to? What mountaintop are we on? You know, where some of us have bodyguards. We're making national statements that more violence is not the answer. And there's catering back here that's very expensive. And I remember just kind of looking around, and I think I did go back and just, you know, get an extra steak, you know, and enjoy an extra imported beer, and just sat there. I remember just kind of taking a good look around and say, man, surely this can't just always be like this. I don't know. I remember having that thought, having that conversation with some guys in the band at the time. I was like, dude, what is? Anyway, I mean, we'd all been playing bars, you know, a couple weeks ago, a couple years ago, it seemed. Funny stuff. So yeah, man, these Texas Music Festival, keep them in your heart. Keep them in your prayers, folks, if you want to see them keep going. Oh man, what are we to do? Man, that Larry Joe Taylor's down here. Chili Deal is huge still in Stephenville. Stuff like that, man, that doesn't have a lot of stuff maybe going on around it, in the area. But it is tough to have those festivals, man, down in San Marcos and Austin and Houston and Dallas where there's a lot going on. That's still a huge one, Larry Joe Taylor. And, man, that thing was small for years, though. I mean, even kind of before the heyday, you know, it was just sort of a gathering, guys sitting around a campfire with guitars. And man, during the Texas music, that big boom there, man, where we had bodyguards and stuff and buses, it really got big. But, who knows, man? I mean, I was, you know, I saw Pat was playing in Lubbock, man, across the street from us at the Wild West, man. Everybody's just out there playing gigs, man. Everybody's working. You know, I see all kinds of names out there that you used to just not see in these markets for a long time. Because, oh, man, he's on tour with Dave Matthews or something. You know, shoot, man, you do get home and you do look up. I know I do this. I mean, there's a lot of markets where we're just, you know, you're kind of back playing somewhere. What did the guy say we listened to The Ticket here in Dallas. The great Ticket, our friend Danny Bayless. Bass player for a great band in Dallas called the King Bucks. Funny guy on the Hardline Ticket. He said, they were talking about the Cult. Remember the Cult, the band? I think they're playing at Trees, you know, and he just goes, man, that guy just walks out on the stage at Trees and just thinks, well, we started here at Trees in like 1985. We've played all these stadiums, and now we're just back at Trees. You know, so he's going to have a good time or something. He made some point of just, man, it always comes back around, you know. But that's life, isn't it? Remember our old friend Kurt South? Of course, the podcast's beloved Kurt South. Talking about, he goes, man, you get on that train outside of the firehouse in Houston, you ride the train all the way down to the Astrodome, you ride it to the House of Blues, you ride it down there to Reliance Stadium, ha, 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 ha. He goes, but man, you stay on that train long enough, drinking the beer and everything, party. He goes, man, oh, that train eventually would let you off again, right outside the firehouse. That's the only place it goes. And how many, I don't know what the... what the moral of the story is, man, what guys like me need to do. You just keep playing your stuff. You play the gigs you get. Well, we're going to listen to one of my favorite acts here in the vault next, Joe Jackson. Who, Phil? Get in the know, man. The vault next. Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, enlightening your musical life. Delighted to be with you here this week, folks. Delighted. Talking about, you know, really juxtaposing two festival scenarios. The Midwest Flatland Jam we just played, which was fantastic. And then in our middle segment, ooh, talking a little bit about the rough market out there currently. At least talking behind the scenes in the Texas music market. Oh, so many people think you can just spend a couple hundred grand, put up a stage, get all the usual suspects out there, and everybody's going to pay $40. Oh, doesn't work as much. Doesn't work as easily anyway these days. So be careful, any young guys thinking you're going into the concert promotion business. It's the best way to go broke in the world. The most fun anyway. At least you're riding around in a golf cart with a walkie-talkie, drinking, hanging out with the bands, and then tomorrow morning you find out you owe $95,000. That's the worst-case scenario. If you can stomach it and deal with it, hey, then go for it. And be sure and call Phil Pritchett and book us. $3,500 will be there. Well, well, well. Phil, you're so different, man. You guys are different. You guys are different. I don't know. It used to bother me when people say that. I don't know how different we are. Maybe in reference to like other Texas country music bands were a little different. But let me tell you what, I'm no different than some of these British new wave rockers that I grew up with. Costello, The Clash, U2. Oh, man. Love it, love it, love it. So, man, one of these guys I think is really unsung that I just freaking loved. Joe Jackson. You probably know him from Is She Really Going Out With Him? You know, guys got some great pop songs. You probably know Stepping Out Tonight. British guy, plays piano, plays guitar, great entertainer. Saw an interesting story that you don't hear a lot about Joe Jackson. He's not on Letterman all the time, or I don't know. He's not really out there as much these days, but he does tour, man. He does put out records, and he is a great showman and has a lot of great songs. You'd be surprised, you know. But, man, he came to town recently. Elvis Costello played like a show here in town, and it was, I think, sparsely attended. And, man, then next week Joe Jackson came, man, and it was like sold out. And some guy in the paper made the point here in Dallas, Fort Worth, of saying, man, that's kind of unusual. You seem like you feel like you see Costello a lot. He's always on Regis or Letterman. He's making a record with, some monks or something, or whatever he does, and always doing something crazy. Man, Joe Jackson just kind of, you don't hear a whole lot about him. But the truth is, man, he still sells tickets, man, and does very well. And I got into more of his, I had a live record of his that was really cool. I can't remember what it's called, but it's on my iPod. All his great hits live. But I think it was recorded in like the mid-90s or something. Great stuff. But, man, this is one of his seminal albums, man. Look Sharp. That was the One More Time kicked it off there. And just got these great driving poppy rock hits, man. Joe Jackson, real energetic and, God, just a great British pop rock punky new wave kind of band. Hope you guys dig it out there, man. Check this one out, man. Sunday Papers, love this song. They wouldn't print it if it wasn't true. A little PG-13 rated, maybe this song. I don't know. But worth hearing here on the P2 podcast. Joe Jackson from his record Look Sharp, Sunday Papers. Sunday papers. You know what? If some band walked in here and said, hey, man, we got this new song. It's called Sunday Papers. And let's say Joe Jackson never existed, or at least he never written that song. That would blow my mind. You know, just mother doesn't go out anymore. And I know it's poppy and it's rocky and it's punky and all that, and we don't do that, Phil, because we're in Texas music. Stretch yourselves a little bit, guys. Come on out there. Come on now. You know what else occurred to me? Oh, man, all these miners getting pulled out of the earth there in Chile. Wasn't that a hell of a thing? Good grief, man. I was kind of talking last episode or two, talking about Gordon Lightfoot's song that we recorded on Blueprint Garage Volume 3. Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. You know about all those guys going down on that iron tanker out there. That big old iron boat in the Great Lakes. True story. One guy needs to write some song about those Chilean miners, man. Just coming out of the earth. Draw up a story and play it. Make it like 14 minutes long with a harmonica deal with no chorus. Who's going to do it? Me? I can't do it all, man. You know, somebody's got to do it. I'm imploring you songwriters out there. I know you're out there listening to the show. You know, I'm writing this song about this, about being on the road or something. Garbage! Garbage! Go to the source, man. The humanity. Modern events. Think about what those guys were going through in that mine down there before they got pulled out into the daylight. And don't just give me some cheese.
The day was getting bright. I was stuck in the mine. It was dark. Thinking of my baby.
Come on. Don't give me John Michael Montgomery's hit. I want something epic, long, weird, visual about the miners. Maybe don't even mention them by name. Don't just say they were down in Chile. Man, it was chilly. Don't give me that. Just call it like, the earth within or something. And just, I don't know. Send it to me. Phil@philpritchard.com. I'd love to hear it. I love these Joe Jackson songs, man. Epic, pop, rock, punk, new wave. Check this one out, man. Is She Really Going Out With Him? Bombast. Then the soft chorus. Dun, dun, dun. You know, check it out. Joe Jackson, Look Sharp. Is She Really Going Out With Him?
Kill. There's a man there who's more dead. Something going wrong around here. Something going wrong around here. Something going wrong around here. Something going wrong around.
Pretty women with gorillas walking down my street. Is that what he says? Gorillas? That's what I always thought he said. Just some big oafy ape guy with a beautiful girl. Fellas, how many times have we seen it? Just gone, what in the world? Well, that is some Joe Jackson in the vault, man. Just to spice you up out there, Texas. Listening to your three-chord grungy stuff. Oh, we love it, don't get me wrong. But let me tell you what, there's a lot out there. Some here, some overseas, some old, some new. Joe Jackson, check it out. We're going to do I'm the Man also, man. That's another great early Joe Jackson album. Just kicking ass. His bass player all over the place. Drums are just... Then he just comes up with some sweet ballad. Awesome stuff. Well, needless to say, go to p2tunes.com to download Blueprint Garage Volume 3 for just $4. Or it is now on iTunes. Yes, indeed. All you iTunes folks out there, just go grab it. You can download the whole album, of course, or you sit there and cherry-pick a couple singles. Whatever. As long as you digest it, listen to it, love it, and pass it on to a deserving soul. Don't spam it out to everybody. Quit sending me this Phil stuff. Find that guy out there who goes, man, I'm just so out of music. There's no one out there for me. Just say, ah, come here, friend. Step inside this house, as Guy Clark would say. Listen to some Phil Pritchett and the full band. Or share some other great music with him. We hope you'll do that. Thank you again to all of our Midwest fans for making the Flatland Jam such a huge, memorable thing. Go to we got a lot of pictures on philpritchett.com. philpritchett.com, there's a little photo bucket slideshow deal. I just uploaded a bunch of photos there of us on the stage with the lights running around, sweating. It was kind of warm that night, unseasonably warm up there in Illinois. But I still wore my jacket. I did my best. Loved it, man, the Flatland Jam. Thanks for listening, folks. Keep the faith out there for music. Maybe it's not in Texas music festivals for now, but you know what? We're all going to get a little smaller, a little smaller, a little smarter. We're going to, rein it back a little bit. I always feel a little fortunate because I never got used to riding on my own bus, a waterbed in the back of my own bus. So I don't know. I don't know what the future holds there. Email me your thoughts as always. Love hearing from you, the fans. Phil@philpritchett.com. And please remember to book us, man. We'll come to your house and play a couple speakers on sticks and rock it out. Or we'll show up at your big festival in Minnesota and rock it out. Wherever. It doesn't matter where it is. We'll be there if you want us. Call me, 817-733-5256. I'm going to leave you with the title track here, Look Sharp, from Joe Jackson. You got to love this guitar lick, man, kicking in. I don't care what kind of music you think you like. Oh, I hope you're just thinking to yourself, a weird British punk new wave guy. Come on, Phil. And now you're thinking, I'm going out to get Look Sharp by Joe Jackson. Love you, fans. We'll see you next week. Much tougher.